All right. Here we go. Just learned this one today, so good luck.
Great.
Okay. Anything yet?
No.
No idea.
Okay, hold on.
I feel like I'm trying to read Braille.
I have no idea.
You don't?
No.
One more time for good measure. All right.
Okay, moving forward.
I have no idea.
I can't wait to show you that at the end. I really can't. Okay, guys. Well, here we are. This week's guest, we have Sheriff Ben Bakewell with us. Thank you for coming.
Anytime.
You're going to have to move closer to the mic.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I had to adjust it a little bit.
And yeah, Jake, you want to add anything?
Oh, I don't really talk to cops. A little bit. Stack of tickets right there.
We're going to have to change
just,
that tonight.
Just kidding.
It looks like you've talked to plenty of cops.
Yeah. So you guys are in for a treat tonight. Tonight's Crossing the Line episode. We have every single ticket that Jacket has ever gotten since he started driving.
There's a few missing, a couple missing.
Okay, but there's still a stack of like 30 tickets. And so we brought Sheriff Ben Bakewell in to talk about them with us and hear the stories. we do have a little dark part for the middle of the episode too, but we're going to start light this time. So ready to dive right in?
How many people have you shot in the face?
Zero.
Okay, just... Somebody had to ask right away.
No, that's fine. I get that weekly.
I know. I'm sure you do. Well, yeah. I mean, where else would you?
I mean, I don't know. Brett always used to say, why don't they just shoot him in the kneecaps? Like, just injure him. Why do they have to kill him?
It's fair. It's just not how we're trained. Center mass.
Okay. Well, here we go. First ticket. this one's from 2003.
Oh, you're really going into detail. Yeah, just look and see what crime it was.
Speed too fast.
Road conditions. Yeah, that one is.
Wow.
All right, let's hear it.
16, snowy out. I had a nutless little four banger.
Okay.
So when it's snowy, I floor it around the corner and I fishtail, and that's the only time my vehicles could do that. So I think it was just a warning. It's kind of bullshit. That cop that gave me that really liked to see me a lot.
I could tell just without even seeing it, just by the stop. That's a real investigative stop, more than anything legit.
Like to see if he's had alcohol in the car?
Absolutely.
Oh, no shit. Yeah. I didn't have any that night.
I was just going to say, did you?
Yeah.
No, not that night.
What were you driving again?
It was like a 92 Dodge Dakota, four banger, like real nutless. So
how many? Do you actually know how many vehicles you've owned in your lifetime?
I could write them down and give you.
How many do you have right now?
Four.
How many run?
All of them.
Attaboy. Registration's current.
Yep.
Plates are current.
Absolutely.
Tires aren't flat and your engine runs.
Correct.
You're good to go.
On everything.
No, he just kicked a hole through the side of his van last week because it was rusting off.
That's fair.
So that
I didn't kick it. I barely tapped it.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Next ticket. In Petersburg, improper parking.
Yeah.
Wow, they did not like you.
Double parked on Main Street.
What's double park mean?
Like a vehicle was coming this way and I was going the opposite way and we were stopped in the middle of the road talking.
I still don't get it.
Double.
So he's blocking traffic, so he's illegally parked.
Oh, you're just stopped talking
but
to somebody.
Two vehicles could drive side by side on the right hand side. Main Street Petersburg is pretty big. So, yeah, I think that's the night.
Wait,
I got.
So did the other guy get a ticket, too?
Yeah, just for improper parking. He didn't get an extra ticket like I got.
Why'd you get an extra one?
Because then we did have booze.
Oh.
Yeah, you were not well-liked right there, were you?
No. That's not the last time I seen him.
Those are some pretty light and petty stops.
Like, oh, yeah.
My speeding tickets are going 80, 90.
I was going to ask you got speeding tickets.
Do you yourself have?
Do I write them right now?
Do you give yourself speeding tickets?
No.
Have you ever had one before you were a cop?
Yeah, I actually just got pulled over a couple weeks ago.
Do you pull the cop card?
No.
Never. Really? You don't even say, I'm Sheriff Ben Bakewell?
No, I just, well, I was armed, so I told him I was armed. He's like, why are you armed? I said, well, I'm
Sheriff Ben Bakewell. There it is.
No,
there it is.
I said, I'm in law enforcement. And he just asked me where. I said, here in Nance County. So just told me to slow down.
You got a warning.
I really wasn't. I wasn't going that fast.
What? Now you have to tell us how fast you were going.
I believe I was going about 70, 71.
Oh, that's not bad.
No, it's not.
That's a 65 zone, probably.
It was a 65 zone. It was actually right below your house.
Huh.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Pulled over. Met a new trooper. Mm-hmm. So.
Shoot. Dang cops.
Yeah. Doing each other favors.
Here we go. Minor in possession with alcohol, zero tolerance, alcohol violation.
That's the same one as this.
Same cop?
Same cop,
but like the same day.
He traded me out this improper parking ticket for this MIP. He didn't care about how I was parked.
Got a trade up?
Yeah, he could give me the upgrade.
So is this a totally different one? Another MIP?
Yeah, that's a totally different one. That is in Platte County.
How far apart are these two?
Probably 6 months.
This one's 03 and this one's,
well,
I can't tell.
When I got off of probation for that one, less than 24 hours after that, I got this one. That's when we had 13 of us in the van.
Same judge? Saw you?
No, different counties.
Wait.
Different counties.
Did they point that out, though, in court? Like,
no, I don't know. They did for the second one. The third one.
Oh, my God.
The third one.
Hold on. 13 in the van.
13 of us in the van.
How many can the van hold?
Like
13.
Legally or?
Legally, yeah. Because did you get in trouble for that, too?
Oh, no, they didn't care once they found the booze.
So then, were you all minors?
Yep. Yep. There's several of the guys were like my seniors, but they were just back for Thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving Eve. And then these cops were kind of profiling us and they followed us. And I mean, nothing suspicious about an 88 Ford van going on the road, is it?
What's 13 minors in it?
A bunch of juvenile delinquents. Then
what was going through your head when the cop lights turned on?
What was the reason for the stop?
I think they just seen us in town. They didn't really tell us.
This one, I think.
You gotta have a stop on there.
So, anyway, so they took all of our beer and they called for backup and all that. And they didn't even search the van, though. I could have stayed in there and laid down on the floor, and I wouldn't have got that second.
So, does anyone get like procuring in that instance?
There wasn't really anyone that procured.
Did you all get asked where you got it?
Oh, yeah.
And none of you said anything?
A couple of the answers were found under a bridge, and then you just got to know where to look. The older guys came up with some really good answers. I didn't really have to get involved in the interrogating. I was one of the last ones to go sit in the cop car.
But you were driving?
No. I was in the far back.
So did the guy in the front get DUI?
No. None of us had that much to drink yet. So
that's still lucky, though.
That is lucky.
And then they call my house, and then Danny's like, or you know, my brother, hey, Mom, Platte County Sheriff Department wants to talk to you. So then they just asked if my brother could drive us all home, and she's like, yeah. So
proud
all
moment.
13 of you.
Yeah. All 13 of us, yeah.
Did they have to call in extra cops to give you guys all the tickets?
I think there's about three of them there.
Yeah, that'd take a long time, I would think.
We were there a while. Thanksgiving Eve, that'll be 21 years.
It's the number one drinking day of the year. Did you know that?
I did not know that.
It is.
I've been told.
It's not Tuesday?
Huh?
It's not Tuesday?
Mm-mm. Huh. Nope. Hmm. Night before Thanksgiving.
How many times have you done a background check on me?
Honestly, or for this podcast? This is your role?
Do you ever randomly do that?
No. I honestly, I don't care enough about your business. And when I'm home, I'm home.
Right.
So I don't get into the small town drama.
Gotcha.
I really don't care. I'm not on social media. Just.
Oh, he's one that we can ask the acronym thing to later. That'd be fun. Okay. Coming back. Next ticket, MIC. What's the difference?
Minor in consumption.
Aren't they the same thing?
It's in your system. So minor in possession, you're in physical control of the alcohol. Minor in consumption, it's in your body. It's like a PBT.
Okay, did that change somewhere down the road? Like, I swear there only used to be MIPs.
I think the charges are pretty much the same.
It's the same thing. In my opinion, we always would just MIP somebody, MIP.
Right.
And then the attorney is the one that goes through and just does the real charges. So
interesting.
We're always different here, though. I mean, I've been here 17 years now, so...
Jeez.
If you're straight up as a minor and you blow zeros, we don't charge you. So a lot of places, even if you blow zeros and you're in the vehicle, they MIP you.
Wow. Just for having it in the vehicle.
Yes.
I've got an open container once for that. But I remember, like, there was only enough beer cans, and there were six of us in the car, and there was only four beer cans, so I ended up getting off of it because I made the guy, like, let me blow into the breathalyzer, and I had hardly drank anything. And so I got off of the ticket because I was an angel. I never drank.
Lucky. I probably got out of speeding tickets is about it, but it was usually probably in a semi or something.
Yeah, me too. Got out of a few. Not proud of them.
Yeah.
One of them, actually, there's a couple stories there. One, I maybe should. Does Lathan listen to this? I hope not.
You will now.
Well, when I used to work at the hospital, I was flying to town once, but I was not going to the hospital. But I did not even know how fast I was going to look down as soon as I passed him, and he pulled me over instantly. I was going like 80. I was like, I'm sorry, I got called in. I was not on call.
Oh my gosh.
And so your wife was working at the hospital, and I walk in there in my outfit. I was going to the horse races. I walk in there in my white shorts and my outfit for the horse races, and I sat down next to Audrey. I go, oh my God, I'm going to hell. I'm like, I just lied to Lathan to get out of a speeding ticket.
I'm sure he'll forgive you.
And she's like, just stay here for like 20 minutes or so at least, so it looks, you know, somewhat believable. I'm like, yeah. Anyway.
I think if I get stopped by you, I'm going to run.
I don't chase people.
I know. I figured you'd get that sweet taser out.
No, I don't carry a taser.
Why?
Yeah, why?
I just don't anymore. I've tased
straight to the gun
17 people. And I just kind of do more verbal talking now, and then I go to a baton, and then I go to a firearm.
How far do you think you could throw that baton? How long is it going to take me to get out of range?
I don't know. It'd take a while.
I probably only get about 20 yards before getting tired. So
it just really, you've got to commit a serious crime for me to chase you.
So if I run a stop sign, you're going to pull me over and chew me out, and I just start running.
Why would you?
I wouldn't chase you.
Just for, he's probably just going to be like, the idiot.
I mean, can't
me
you still write the ticket for him and just leave it there?
If I know you, I can just be like, I know who that is. And then I can just impound your vehicle. It'll cost you $300, plus I'll ticket you.
Damn it.
And I'll just keep it in impound until you come talk to me. We've had people do that.
I believe it.
I've pushed four-wheelers up out of the sand on the river, and we've impounded them at about $200-$300 a pop.
Wow.
One of them has sat in our office for like a month.
And they finally came for it?
Yeah.
And what was their excuse? Someone stole it?
Well, they try to say that.
Usually they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to run.
You should. I'm not going to chase you.
Will you try to throw the baton at him, though? Because I feel like that'd be hilarious. God. Do you have body cams? Like that you can catch that?
Every one of us has a body cam.
Please do that. And let's
I would turn around and come back anyways. I wouldn't actually do that.
That's what we should do is review old body cam footage.
Oh, man.
And we should review tasers. Did you have the one that shot the stingers out so you didn't have to run quite as far? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You think those would drop me?
Absolutely, 100%.
Why didn't you bring one tonight?
You want to get tased? I'll buy the cartridge. You sign the waiver.
They're like $50 a piece, ain't they?
I don't know what the new ones are.
Or 45 or something?
I'll buy it.
That's pretty... Well, I mean, huh? Yeah, sure.
It sucks. It sucks.
I've been tased by like a $20 one that you hit. It didn't drop me, so I was kind of disappointed. But
these are a little different.
Can I at least wear a helmet?
No, we actually probably just lay you on the ground.
And then I want to be
two barbs in your back.
I want to be running.
He wants to run.
Oh man!
Just eat shit.
You would eat shit. 100%. No control over your body.
Oh, so I probably need to go to the bathroom before we do this.
I did.
Yeah. I'm picturing all this, and I kind of want to watch the body cam footage, but I don't know if I want to be there in person because I'd feel bad.
Yeah.
It hurts.
Good.
It's a long 5 seconds. Really long.
Oh, I suppose it lingers around for a while afterwards.
You don't just like hold it and it keeps going?
No, it's a 5 second.
And it just stops.
And it'll stop and you can reactivate, yeah.
I did not know that. I thought you just like held it down like a cattle prong thing as long as you wanted it to shock them.
No. It's life-changing. You'll respect electricity.
It's electrifying.
It is. It is electrifying.
All right, on to the next ticket. All this one says is improper backing.
Yeah, they really come after me for some petty shit.
They did not like
you. I think I backed up. That's a different cop, though. I think I backed up out of the post office or something, and I did like a full U-turn so I could go back that way and didn't have to go down Main Street. I think that was a warning, but yeah, they liked seeing me on the regular.
I call that boredom.
Well,
there's a lot of other tickets you can go write every day.
Mm-hmm.
Stop signs legit. Like people that
I agree
blow
with
stop signs. I go for those.
I would do.
Okay. This one says unnecessary noise with tires.
Oh, that's a fun one. That was in Lincoln. We were down there for a wedding and my couple of friends were in the vehicle and I was DD'ing. So we're at the stoplight leaving the wedding, going back to the hotel. And there's this old lady in the car next to me and I'm at a red light. And so I'm revving it was like a Ford Focus or Fusion or something, you know, a little four banger car or whatever. And I'm revving the engine up at this old lady a little bit, you know, like she won't look over like we're going to race because I'm in this little four cylinder car. Well, then when the light turned green, I floored it. And I didn't expect the front tires to squeal, but they did. And there's a cop sitting right over to, you know, at the other stoplight. I didn't see him. So then he boils out there and he pulls me over and he's like, "Hey, what's going on?" I was like, "Oh, nothing." He's like, "Well,
nothing."
Well, then my friends had alcohol and like little fireball shooters and stuff, and but I wasn't drinking. And then so then he's like, "Well, I forgot to tell him I was a carrier, concealed carrier, whatever." And then he comes back and he's like, "You're a concealed carrier?" And I was like, "Yeah, but I'm not drinking. I'm just driving these guys." And he's like, "If you seen me sitting over there, why would you squeal the tires?" And I was like, "I absolutely did not see you. If I would have, I would not have squealed the tires."
Honestly.
And he just kind of laughed. He looked like he was about the same age as me at the time. And he just went to his car, gave me a warning, let me go. No big deal.
Finally, that again.
For once. Yeah. Again.
We still got a whole pile here. All right. Next. Speeding. I think it's Petersburg again. Is this the same cop?
Is it? No, that's Chase County. That's Imperial, Nebraska.
Oh, yeah, I was looking in the wrong spot.
That's I used to go out there and load hogs and bring them back. So I'm sure I was always in a hurry. Yeah, see here, double aught Freightliner there.
Do you have to write the speeds that they're going on the tickets?
Yes.
But not if it's warning?
Warning you don't. Citation you do.
I've always heard if you like say that you know how fast you're going, that you have to get a ticket. Is that right?
No, I mean, you probably don't want to tell somebody how fast they're going and then give them a warning.
Okay.
So
I just heard like if they ask you like, "Do you have any idea how fast you're going?"
No.
And you say, "Yeah, like 75," they're like, "Well, okay, you get a ticket now."
Well, like I said, if I'm pulling you over, it's for a good speed.
Yeah.
Type of a deal. And I'll talk to you, and if you're honest, sometimes I'll let you out. If you try to lie to me, I never do.
Yeah. Well, Lathan's going to pull me over for sure after this.
Oh, boy.
For the record, he did give me a speeding ticket like 2 years before that. I was only going like 5 over.
Ooh.
What?
I see this what one? Ticket you got there. That's my...
No motorcycle helmet.
Yeah.
We've talked about this, Jake.
They gave me the... They let me keep this ticket and gave me the upgrade to the DUI status for that one. See where it says see where it says my name?
Oh, no.
Jailed.
Oh,
jailed?
No,
no, that's my name.
In Norfolk, huh?
Yeah. Moving forward.
You're not going to tell us like what your blood alcohol was?
I don't remember.
Legit, huh?
I mean, I kept it on two wheels, but...
Probably shouldn't have been driving. All right. Okay. This one says, this one's in O'Neill careless driving, no motorcycle endorsement.
That's another fun one.
So you're on a motorcycle.
Yep.
Does that mean you don't have a motorcycle license?
Yeah.
Correct.
For like 8 years, I didn't have one. Does that mean I never got stopped? Well, then one day I got stopped. But yeah, we were cruising up from, 281 out west, cruising up from Chambers or somewhere, and we're cruising up the road. Well, then we passed this car that was going unreasonably slow. Well, then they got on our ass. There was probably 8 of us. And then they, we were probably going 85 somewhere in there. And then this car kept up with us after that. And then they called us in. They called up to O'Neill.
So how'd you all get pulled over? We talked about that before.
The cops ambushed us when we got to town. Well, we met a biker coming into town, and he told us the cops are back there. So, I didn't see that. The back 4 or 6 bikes seen it. So me and my buddy kept going, and then the cops had the road blocked waiting for us. And then they just, you're not getting away from that. They just, pulled us over to the fire hall. And so they're like, yeah, this car, they stopped the car that was behind us, too, to, get their names so they could testify against us in court. And so we stayed there forever. And then the lady's like, there's a woman police officer. She's like, you don't have your motorcycle license. And I was like, so how are we going to move forward from this? I got here on it. You think you can just look over there and let me leave? And I don't remember how that actually unfolded. I think they came to some agreement where I could leave, but I couldn't drive it again after that until I got my license. So then my buddy and I, that were getting popped for that, we go talk to a lawyer, and he's this old school lawyer. He's from over by Battle Creek, good guy. I think he's passed away since then, but all he had in his office was books, just books everywhere. He didn't have a computer, a laptop, nothing. He was old school. And then we tell him our side of the story and all that. So then he calls up to Holt County and talks to them for a while. And then he hangs up, and then he calls him back a little bit later, has another little talk, and then calls us back, and he goes, you guys are free to go. You got to pay for court costs, and you got to get your motorcycle license. You got to pay for court costs, but there's no charges after this.
That's not bad.
And, so you didn't get a DUI out of it, though?
No, I didn't say we were drinking.
I thought that's what the second one was.
No, that was a different one. Oh. That was the one before.
Oh.
So this one we got out of. Because we didn't get stopped for drinking. We got stopped for careless driving.
Gotcha.
Which, was...
So how many of you got? 4 of you?
I think just 2 of us got the careless driving. The other ones all bailed. So then this lawyer, we asked him, we're like, hey, what do we owe you and stuff? And he said, well, who's your dad? My buddy told him who his dad. And he goes, who's your dad? And I said, told him. And he goes, you guys don't owe me anything. I made enough money off your dad's when he was your age. And he didn't even charge us.
That's awesome. Nice.
It was awesome.
Thanks,
he's a good
Dad.
Guy.
Lawyer on the payroll.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Let's do a couple more before we go dark, and then we'll switch her up here. This one's from one of my old favorite cops. No red taillight.
I think that one's with a semi. I didn't have a trailer on, so just petty stuff.
Okay.
They like me.
You didn't have a trailer on.
I didn't have a trailer, so the truck, it's a semi-truck.
Yeah.
Didn't have taillights, or if it did, they were burnt out.
Oh, so did have taillights, but they were burnt out.
Correct. And when I have a trailer on, I just didn't ever worry about it, because they don't usually give a shit about the tractor taillights when they got the trailer behind it.
How long did you truck for?
Forever. I don't know, I think I got my license when I was 18-ish, so.
It's hard to get now.
20 years.
You have to do all those tests, the commercial.
I've heard that.
It's no joke.
Is there a grandfathered in law?
I don't think so.
Well, if you got it, you're good.
Yeah, and I've been keeping mine current. I don't hardly use it anymore, but, just still doing the DOT physicals and all that crap, but just in case I need to.
Right.
I got questions for both of you on this one, but the next one is illegal helmet.
Oh yeah,
the brain bucket.
That's when I got stopped over by. Talked about that when Lee was here. They stopped me on the Salem Road, and it's 2 state patrolmen's.
So Ben, how do you spot? You spot just from passing someone that it's an illegal helmet, or how do you know?
Oh, I was also speeding was okay. Part of the reason they stopped me, but they were going to let me. I didn't even have my...
Like, it didn't have the DOT thing on it? Like your helmet?
Yeah, but I got it at a garage sale, so it might, might not have been...
Budget.
Legit.
It was like a BMX helmet.
Yes.
Like a plastic soft one.
It's a little better than that.
But can you tell? Like, aren't there bunch of knockoffs that would be...
I can't.
These guys weren't all that bad, though, because they stopped me for speeding, and then when they're like, license and registration and insurance, I didn't have my insurance in that bike. I had it, but it wasn't with the bike. I didn't grab it off the table. And then same with the registration. So I just assumed they were able to look that up and know that I had proper documents. I just didn't have them on my person. And then they gave me a stern ass chewing for speeding.
Probably deserved it.
For speeding and wearing an illegal helmet.
You needed that too.
You got a warning though.
Yeah.
That was nice.
I know. And then they took my helmet and let me leave.
And just let you drive off with no helmet?
Yeah.
Isn't that nice?
Wow.
And he still doesn't even have life insurance. It's just...
I got some
firepower.
I got some firepower on me for that. I can't look it up right now, though. But no, one of my family members reached out and they said me having life insurance really ain't that beneficial right now, not having kids or any major debts and stuff. So
I still disagree. At least enough for your funeral and taking care of stuff.
You can sell my vehicles and pay that off.
I don't think we can with your vehicles. I don't think we'll get enough out of them.
Is that a jab?
No. You can't. I mean, yeah, I'm serious.
That van might surprise you.
I mean, the van maybe, but I don't know. He just kicked a hole in the side of it. It's going down in value by the week. I don't know.
It has no value to anybody but me.
I just want to see who wants to buy the van before you sell it.
Ooh, I mean,
they're probably on a list.
I don't.
Probably. Let's be honest.
The van is a family heirloom.
Yeah.
It's come and gone though. You sold it once.
Kinda, yeah.
Hold on. Tell what you paid for the van.
One Busch Light.
Seriously,
fair trade.
Bought it for my dad, so
cool.
I know, but what'd you sell it for?
He wanted $500 for it, and then when I told him I was getting it, he's like, "Oh, just buy me a beer, change oil in it, and put a new battery in it." And then so I've had it since then.
It's ran like a champ ever since. Have you seen his new license plate for it?
I didn't.
Do you want to tell him what it says?
I took a
free candy.
That's what it should say.
I took a photo of it so we can put that on the.
It says, he didn't tell any of us what he was doing, and he just shows up here at the shed one day, and we're all hanging around, and all of a sudden, somebody bursts out laughing, and they're just pointing at his license plate. It says, paid fo. F-O. Paid fo.
It's paid for. That was my younger brother's idea.
He's That's pretty like, cool.
It's pretty funny. I mean, that thing's kind of a tradition around here. Everybody seems
reason,
to like it.
It's the only reason I got friends down here.
It is not.
That's not true. I've always been your friend.
Right? Unless he's speeding?
No.
Mm-hmm. I've probably met you speeding before.
Shh.
Full disclosure.
I'm just kidding.
My radar doesn't work in my unit.
Oh, Ben.
So they're super expensive. So we have new ones ordered for our new vehicles that are coming in.
Oh, my God.
But I wasn't going to put a new one in an old vehicle.
That's where you can trick the people because you can be like, do you have any idea?
Just kidding.
Do you know how fast you're going? No. And you just hope that they tell you. You can write it down.
No.
Do you ever drive by the people that you know are speeding and then like turn on your lights just so they see it in the rear view? Like if you're going opposite ways.
Yeah, I do.
And then they slow down.
Slow down. Yeah.
I've had that happen to me before and I've slowed my ass down in a hurry.
I've had a lot of cops actually do that to me, mainly when I'm in the semi and like I'd be rolling down a hill. I remember a cop in Kansas and he turned his lights on. He was a mile away from me. That's what it seemed like. And he turned his lights on until I got down to the speed limit. But I'm like, you know, I don't. Get my brakes hot going down these straight hills in the middle of nowhere. Right. I just didn't really, but I slowed down.
So isn't the semi like signal, don't you like shut your lights off and on when there's like a cop?
I don't know. I don't know about that.
He's not going to tell us that.
No, I didn't.
You're the radio?
Yeah, but I never turned it on. I just hated talking to truckers and I just like to cruise.
Okay, well, somebody told me that back in the day, and whether or not it's true, I used to be a mobile x-ray tech for 6 years. I don't know if you knew that or not, but somebody told me that, and I used to think I was like the coolest person ever, because if I went by a cop and then I met a semi, I would do it every time. I never knew.
Oh, like your headlights on and off. Yeah, that's vehicles and semis alike. Yeah, everybody does that. I don't do it no more because I'm like, well, you shouldn't have been speeding.
That's hardly fair.
I got a semi going 99.
Holy.
Oh. 60, right on Highway 22.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's impressive. I don't think I've...
I wrote him for willful reckless, and he started crying.
Do you lose your CDL for that?
Well, he came in immediately because he was from Arkansas and talked to our county attorney.
Oh, I got a story about that, too.
He dropped it down to where he could still maintain his license, but he's like... Can't you cut a break? I'm like, dude, I'm not cutting you a break. 99 and a 60.
I don't think our trucks ever went fat. I could never get him more than 85.
So he didn't let him take the stop class or anything?
No.
Okay.
No, he had to get back to Arkansas, and it wasn't like I was going to arrest him for it. But like a semi, your radar signature is so big, so you can have him at like a half mile. And so I looked, I was like, no way. So I hit it again. I was like, seriously?
Wow.
I'm sure he was maintained 98, 99 miles an hour.
That's impressive.
That's flying.
Okay, well, I have to tell you my
story. Was he loaded?
No, he didn't even have a trailer. He was just going back.
Oh, what a dumbass.
Yeah, that's kind of...
Then if you got to stop quick, you don't got any weight behind you. Extra braking power.
Right.
Still can't stop on a dime.
Yeah, back wheels of skid. Yeah, I know. I'll start bouncing.
Yeah, it was quick. It was quick.
No, okay, I have one more speeding story of mine. And it's very similar to that, actually.
Did you lie to a police officer?
No, I did not this time. Like, I honestly...
Did you cry?
No, I didn't do that either. I was a little too much in shock when it happened, because what happened was I was following one of my best friends back from Silver Creek to Genoa, and my little sister was riding with me, and I was 16, and... I said, we'll catch her. She drove a Trans Am and I had a Mustang and thought I was all cool at the time. And we got closer to Genoa, almost to the Nance County line. And my little sister said, thought you were going to catch her. And I'm like, I still will. And like right at that point, I floored it. So I went from 60 to 90 in like 5 seconds. And literally the 5 second mark, boom, got pulled over right there, in the Nance line. And the cop came up to the window and he was such a jerk. Oh my God, he was so mean. He was like, so where's the fire? I'm like, I didn't get it. I'm like, what? He's like, there's got to be a fire somewhere. Why are you going that fast? I'm like, I was trying to catch my friend. And he's like, I should get you out of the car and haul you to jail right now because you're endangering another life and the vehicle. Mm. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. I said, I really wasn't even going this fast. I said, I just floored it right there on a whim to try to catch my friend. And he like continued to really, he was really not nice to me and then wrote me a big ticket. But I was going 93 by the time I got pulled over.
That's quick.
So I called immediately. I called my house phone because back then we didn't have cell phones. And my older sister picked up and I said, don't tell mom that you're talking to me yet. But I said, I just got pulled over on the way home from Genoa and I was going like 93 and a 60. I'm going to be in huge trouble. And she goes, too late, you're on speakerphone.
Nice.
That's awesome.
But anyways, so I was like devastated over this. My uncle tells me, well, I know the county attorney. He's like, if you dress real cute, maybe wear a skirt or something and walk in there and beg him to let you take the stop class, you might have a chance of taking it. And so I did it. I was terrified. I walked in there and I like said, can you please consider... like letting me take the stop class. I said, I'm the daughter of two teachers. I don't have any other like speeding tickets on my record. I'm a straight A student. I'm like a really good girl, right? And he goes, how fast were you going? And he looked at my ticket and he goes, 93? He's like, no, I cannot. There's no way I can give you a break on that. And then I might have gotten teary-eyed, but I didn't cry. And I was like, okay, well, thank you for your time. And I left and went home. And 2 days later, I got a letter in the mail. One line, it said, I've decided to let you take the stop class. And then he signed his name. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Very.
I've done that on a lot of stops, too, with kids. And then I tell them, get your parents on the phone right now. And I said, this is what's going on. I'm wearing a body cam. And I said, I'm not going to write him a ticket.
And I'm going to beat the shit out of him.
I figure you're going to take care of it when they get home.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I said, there you go. Go straight home. We've done that multiple times.
And it's probably had more of an effect.
I think so. I think parents should be involved in that.
Well, because back then, too, the stop classes that I went to, They were 8 hour long stop classes. Yeah. And now they're only like 4 hours or something stupid.
I've been to stop class.
Have you?
Twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's worth it to get it off your record. But
maintaining disorderly houses.
The hell does that mean?
Having parties in Lincoln.
Ooh.
They'd write you maintaining disorderly houses. And here's the funny part. So when I went through the academy in law enforcement, I fully declared I had 2 tickets that got dismissed for maintaining a disorderly house. And I had to go to LPD and get those tickets, and they didn't have them. So the academy was almost not going to let me in because I'm like, I'm telling you, I got these tickets. Well, there's no record of it. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. I'm not making this up. I had to go sit through stop class. It got dismissed. I had tickets
mm-hmm.
for it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe it was warning. I go, no, I had 2 citations each time. Like, I had citations for them. And they still, I couldn't, the LPD couldn't find them for me. And I couldn't get them, so
nice.
It was different.
Would that have changed you getting in the academy?
I was honest about it, so I didn't lie. I didn't try to hide anything. And they asked me questions on it, and I was like, "I was in college, and it was a booze party. And when I was working Department of Corrections, and I got a ticket for it for my friend who went outside and started yelling at a neighbor.
Hmm.
It was my house. So they wrote me.
Gotcha. Yeah. But it was in Lincoln.
Yeah.
They usually every Lincoln party. They usually let people just, like, they'd crash them or whatever, bus parties, and then they kind of let people just go.
Yeah, not around 48th and Layton.
No.
No, not around Westland. Oh, we were,
shoot.
Like, kind of smack dab in the zone, and every party that got busted, people were getting ticketed.
So they trap you in the house and be like, wait in line for your MIP?
No,
or?
They just want to know who lived there. And then, I mean, they were always fairly decent about it, so.
Oh, man, I'm getting, just having a little trip down memory lane here.
You have 300 people in a house, like,
yeah,
you're going to get a ticket.
A little loud.
No.
I was at a party one night and the cop car got stolen.
What?
I bet somebody got a ticket.
You didn't steal it, did you?
No.
What was that face for,
He's
then?
He's like, no.
Hold that thought.
Okay. Time to go dark. Okay, so, Ben, you were actually the sheriff when Brett's accident happened.
I was. Still yeah. am, but I was. Yeah.
But so what a lot of people don't know is Brett and I had like a little get together the night before that you guys actually came to.
Yep.
And we did a little grilling, and I don't even know what we all just kind of hung around and drank and talked. And but that was kind of the first time you guys came out and hung out with us, like at our house, I think.
It was, yeah.
But I'll never forget it, actually. I remember you, like, telling Brett goodbye or something, and you saying, like, I'm so glad that we did this. And you're like, I think we're going to be really, really good friends. Like, we're going to be really close the rest of the year.
Well, you got to back up.
Okay.
Because I was new to the side-by-side, jeeping.
Yeah.
All of that.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, I'm getting strapped in a 4-point harness and a side-by-side that can go, like, 95 miles an hour.
I forgot he gave you a ride in that.
So they're trying to jam me in there and push on my shoulders to get the straps to fit. And then I look over at Brett, and I'm like, you don't fucking kill me. And he just, ha-ha-ha, and just floored it. And we are literally, you're 0-90 in seconds in that thing. And he's just whipping corners one-handed like it's nothing.
Mm-hmm. Why didn't you fit in there? Because you're 300 pounds, 6'12", or what?
Pretty much. It's made for little people.
Like
I'm
me.
Not little. I'm not saying you. I mean, big personality, but... No, it was a neat night. And I remember going to Brad's, and he was in the trampoline with the kids doing, like, 3 backflips.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, that's, like, the most athletic person I've ever seen in my life.
Mm-hmm. He was.
It was a good time.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, Audrey and I talked about that too. We're like, yeah, we're gonna hang out up there. I mean, they're good people.
Yeah,
because you guys have been to our house before.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yeah, it was a good time.
It was a random night. Like,
yeah,
I remember Brett actually stopped at the hospital like right before he came out that night, and he was on his Honda, my mom's motorcycle that she gave him. And he had a backpack on with like 3 frozen pizzas in it because he's like, I invited Bakewell's. I want to make sure we got enough food for everybody. So
I stopped
at the grocery store and got some frozen pizzas. I'm like, okay, I'll see you. You know, see you in an hour.
Right.
So then, yeah, the next day happened. Where do you remember where you were when you got a call?
I was outside. remember my patrol truck was all set. I usually have all my stuff set where it needs to be. And I remember I just changed outside of my vehicle and went, because I didn't even know who it was. They just said somebody had went over the dam and someone possibly drowned. And then that's when I got there, and I saw you guys, and you're like, no, it's Brett.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it hit me. I didn't know who it was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it wouldn't have mattered. I'm still going to do what I do, but...
What was like initial reaction? Like, what do you, I mean, where does your mind go? What's the first thing you thought of?
Overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And that I need to get in the water.
I think you did get in the water.
I did. They tied me off. And then I went down and...
You got right next to the wall even, didn't you?
And I remember I couldn't even hold on. Like my chest was all bruised, my arms, and I realized then there was just no way.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was just nothing you could do. And then we just kept trying to formulate different ideas. I mean, the worst thing you could do is just stand there.
That's what
and not do anything.
Yeah, that's where I went to.
I don't know. Just from doing this, working's contagious, right? So mm-hmm. if you're working, staying positive, staying busy, something good can happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you just stand there, nothing good happens, is the way I look at it.
I feel like you had like the United States Army there with like a day, though. I mean, you had everything I could have possibly ever thought of and more, like resource-wise. Like, did you just know those people, or did you like...
I knew a lot of them just through training and contacts, and that's the most important thing. And what people don't realize is, yeah, we were putting in really long days, but I was on the phone till 1, 2 in the morning. Mm-hmm. Lining up the next day, every mm-hmm. day. I mean, you're talking 100, 150 phone calls mm-hmm. a day. It's just a bad situation. I mean, what do you do?
I know.
The water came up so fast and it's so strong.
Well, it got worse the next day because then it rained that night and then it started flooding all over again. And then it was really, we were screwed. But I remember, like, I think it was probably day 7 or 8 searching. I remember you called me, and this was after you had already called.
I remember.
You called. God, what was that team from like Wahoo? They were awesome. They came down and dove like 2 different days.
Yeah, they stayed at my house 3 nights.
They were awesome people.
Yeah, the Wahoo guys stayed at my house. And then, the other team.
Did we have, we had dogs too. We had cadaver dogs too. I thought.
Kind of. Yeah, kind of a cadaver dog.
Oh.
We also had a guy that came down with wires.
I remember that. I remember that guy.
And I was like, you're wasting my time.
But who cares?
He drove from Oklahoma, so I'm not going to.
And then we had the boats.
The boats were huge.
Like sonar. Weren't they sonar boats?
Yeah, that was Waterloo boat team.
That's really well funded. That was the team that was awesome. It was one of those days. It was one of those days specifically when I remember someone like pointing at me and saying, she shouldn't be here. And that's one of the days I got really mad. But no, it was like
a couple of those days.
It was like day 7 or 8 though when you did call me and you said, do you want me to stop? Do you want me to keep searching? Like, you tell me what you want me to do. And I was like, well, I can't tell you to not stop. I'm never wanting to stop. You know?
It's just tough because when you're in my position, you see those people break every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you got to keep that same face.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know if I was making it worse by continuing, because I mean, I was lost. I didn't know what to do.
Right.
I just knew to just keep working.
But how long would they have even let you do?
As long as I want.
Really?
I'm sure if I can do that.
That's nice, at least.
Yeah.
I didn't know if there was a
point. No one was going to call me off.
You hear of that a lot.
I got called by different counties. You want us to take over. I got called by the state patrol. You should step away. And I just said, you're out of your mind. It's never going to happen.
Yeah.
So.
It still seems unreal. Like today.
I remember standing by you, and I'm not going to call any names out. We're on the south side, and we're cutting trees to get a bobcat in, because that's the best indication we had.
Yeah.
Where that dog indicated, it made sense, so the kayak went.
Yeah, that's exactly.
It'd be a perfect spot where somebody could just get jammed.
Mm-hmm.
And someone came up and said, well, who's running this? And then it was somebody that lives on that side of the river, and I said, well, I am. He goes, well, you should really do a better job. And we're on day 6 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I don't even
have
any
exhausted
gear that's dry. Like, I'm wearing wet boots. I have 3 pair of boots. They're all ruined. They're wet because we're just soaked.
Mm-hmm.
And He goes, these family members shouldn't be there. You should really tell them to leave. And I just looked at him, and I specifically told him, I said, you go fucking tell them. I just stared at him. And another individual who I really respect, who was driving one of the airboats for us, he grabbed me and pulled me back and said, don't do anything. Just stay calm. And he really kept my head level. Mm-hmm. So,
yep, I heard them all too. But again, I mean, I challenge anyone to be in that situation and not want to be putting in every ounce of effort that you can. Like, again, if I would have heard that they found, you know, or they feel his arm or anything like that, I wouldn't stand there and stare at it.
Right.
But at least I'm right there when they find out and I know right away.
Yeah, that was a tough 10 days.
Yeah. So were you actually there when they found him?
It was me and a Skyler firefighter, and I was in the water putting my hands under a bush because we could smell something.
That's the last thing I remember. We had just taken off on the airboats across the river from that to go back down, and I remember you specifically saying, well, we thought we might have smelled something over here, so we're going to go look at that, and then we'll come back down on the south side.
It was actually, we were about to turn around and give up, but then Julie mm-hmm. and Audrey were up on the bridge, and Julie said, come back and check this spot, and we went back. So I don't remember what his name was, but he was on my boat, and we got off on the sand, and the biggest problem was there were so many dead fish from the flood. Like, you could, it just didn't smell right, like mm-hmm. fish, though. It was different. And I'm under a bush, and he goes, hey, he's right here. I remember just looking at him. I said, don't you fucking lie to me. Because, I mean, my emotions, I was broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, he was right there.
But it was just, what I've heard is it's just a hand that you could see.
I mean, how dark are we getting here?
I mean, like, not too dark, but like how much of him was it?
I remember, I mean, it's burning my memory.
How much was exposed that you knew it was a body?
It was this much. So it was his wrist here, and his hand was up like this, facing the south, and then this finger right here was stripped of the bone, and this finger probably from the birds is what we figured.
That's just nuts that someone even saw that, though.
We were literally right there for 30 seconds before we did, because it all just kind of blends.
Mm-hmm.
Everything kind of blends in. It's just literally this much was just like that. That's exactly what it looked like. I turned and I looked. I had to look at it again. I had to get close and look at it, and then you just knew.
Right. So without giving me like more details of what he actually looked like, what was the process like then? Did you guys start digging with your hands or what did you do?
No. And it took about 4 hours. And that's when Lathan really stepped in, Captain Wolin, and he's military, been deployed multiple times. And my emotions were so train wreck then. I was screaming. I was down on my knees. I mean, I was broken.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, what do you need? I said, get him out. And Monroe Fire showed up. The Genoa guys helped out, but they didn't really want to see it.
Right.
I mean, Gus was right there.
I knew. I heard that. They asked my cousin to step away, which I'm glad that they did.
Yeah. And Lathan started cutting the tree out with the chainsaw, because there was a big cottonwood tree, and that's where he got kind of
lodged under.
And then he was under 3 feet of sand. So they brought in the big blow pumps and like started flushing all the water out, like blowing.
Where do they
water
bring those in from?
Just right off the bank.
But I mean, who's got blow pumps like that?
I don't know.
Everybody does.
I don't know what that even is.
I got one.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
Well, I don't even know what it's like. It basically looks like a generator with a pump, and they're pumping water like straight. Like, what do you fill like a dump tank up with for the fire department?
So interesting.
They came in, we started blowing all the water away, and it took a long time.
Yeah, I just remember, like I said, I remember you calling, and I remember you asking me what his wedding ring looked like.
Yeah.
And I remember not having a picture of it. So I actually contacted our wedding photographer and said, do you have a good picture of his ring?
I remember that.
And she got back to me like right away with it, and I sent it to you, and you're like, yep, that's definitely him. But by that point, I think you had gotten him out and found his phone that was still in his pocket that had his number on it and his name and everything.
And what he was wearing, yep.
Mm-hmm. Which that's amazing that his clothes lasted that long too, or whatever was left of him or whatnot. I don't think he wasn't wearing a shirt actually, because right before we went over the wall, I remember saying to him, why don't you take your sweater off? And he went, like
good
he
one
always does. Well, he just because you have a sweater as well.
Just amazing how far
he made it. And literally, like I've said this to people before, but I had said, like, somebody right before we left on that last day to leave, somebody had said, there is no way that a body could make it this far down the river. And I specifically remember saying out loud, if anyone could, it would be Brett.
Right.
And my dad was there too, and he's like, yep, you're right. You're right about that. And then it was right after that you guys found him.
And you just look back and like, why'd we do this? Why'd we do that? And you mm-hmm. feel guilty about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are we out? Like, it was me and Steve Nelson out on that little barge, and we're tied off on a rope. And I'm like, Steve, whatever happens, we can't fall in this water. We're dead. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not going to live if we fall in. And they kept pushing us closer into the dam. I'm like, oh, my God.
Hindsight's 20/20.
Right.
You're exhausted after X amount of days doing that.
Not thinking straight.
You don't know, but it's an idea nonetheless. And, you know, it's something you haven't tried yet, so why not try it?
Right.
And you're probably making the best decision you can at the time with the knowledge you got.
We didn't know.
All the water guys that were there, they said he's not going to be far from where he drowned mm-hmm. because in their experience.
I figured that was.
To be fair, though.
Figured he would have been in Kearney.
Kearney up the river.
Fremont.
Yeah. To be fair, that's what they're used to dealing with is lakes.
Right, lakes. Yeah, that makes sense. But as fast as that river was rolling the next day, and even standing on the bridge like where you guys were, there were waves and like white caps and crap.
Yeah, I mean, they were moving them cottonwood trees like it was no problem.
Well, lodged that one up against the Genoa Bridge.
I remember seeing that. It was really rainy that day that I was out.
It was cold every day almost that we searched. I don't remember it being nice.
What was weird is the water was warmer than the air.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were in the water like every day. The water, you didn't want to get out because it was cold when you got out.
But I feel the forecast literally changed like the minute he drowned, because we were having so much fun that day. That's why we decided to go over the wall and keep going, because we didn't want to stop. And then we had all said, like, Kendra and Trevor had plans the next day originally, but they're like, screw it, we're doing this again. This was so much fun. We're going to go tomorrow because it's supposed to be hot again. And then all of a sudden it rained that night and was freezing the next day. I guess the whole universe just got flipped upside down. But
yeah, it's a deep scar.
Oh, I know. It will be. Like, some of the things that suck, though, well, one thing in particular that I've heard, like, in the years passing was, well, if I would have been there that day, I would have saved him.
Nobody would have. Like, you would have went in there. If you would have went where I went with the rope on, it was all I could do to hold on for 10 seconds. If mm-hmm. If I would have let go, I would have been dead. There's no way they could have pulled me out.
No, but to hear that is so infuriating and so, like, it makes me want to, like, choke somebody because...
Right.
Why would you not think all of us that were with him wouldn't have done absolutely everything we could have?
Right.
So
there's nothing he could have done.
Another thing, like really, really quick, I remember, because you might actually know the term for this. You are the one that told me this. It was a month or two after. You had to write something for me to take to the courthouse to somehow say, like, I'm the sole parent of my kid. Do you remember what this was? I had to almost say, like, my husband is not here anymore, so if something...
I think it was a confirmation of... Or like a life insurance policy.
There was something else though that you had to write.
I had to say he is deceased. I witnessed it. I saw his body. Then you were the sole parent. Yeah.
Yeah, and it was something to do with like benefits and something like that too. Yeah. Though, I don't. Something with the legal system. I don't know. I had to learn all that stuff, and I'm still learning it all. Like,
yeah.
How do you know though? I mean,
I've had to do a few of those though, where someone dies and they certain states even have different proof levels. Like you have to have proof. Certain people. Saw this person dead.
Yes, and also that it was proven that it was not a suicide.
Correct.
But I mean,
think that's what it was. It was cause of death, and like
you have to have it though. Yeah. And you have to like file something with your courthouse. I don't remember the exact reason why that was, but I know that we had to do it.
But I remember.
Yeah. I still have that letter from you somewhere in the death box. Okay, so we just took a little break, and I found out some information that, honestly, I didn't even know until tonight.
Breaking news.
So, it kind of is, actually. So, everybody that listened to my first episode about the Brett story, where I said the psychic had called my dad's cousin, that actually did happen, and he or she had told us to go towards Monroe, and we all thought, you know, that's way too far. Just never made it up that way, but she told us the same things with the triangles and the eagle and the hand and everything. And then Ben just tells me this about the day that they found him. Go ahead.
So we're on day 10. All right. We're just going to jump right into this.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's going to get dark. So we're on day 10, and I had reached out to the Nebraska Airboat Association, and I said, I really need airboats. That's the only way we are going to be able to maneuver around this. Our local airboat people that were helping us for days, they just couldn't do it every day. I mean, we were risking $90,000 airboats in 15 to 16 foot deep water. They came out. They were great. I hopped on a boat with Kurt Westrin. He had it was a white and green airboat. Captain Wolin was with me, Lathan Wolin. I think we had 10 airboats total. We started going up and down the river. I just said, we need to do something different because what we're doing is not working. So we just basically said, we're going to go east of the Highway 39 bridge and start working our way east towards Monroe. I had no reason to.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a waste of time, kind of like, but we got to work. I mean, we're not going to just sit here and just watch the water.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to work. I remember I had guys on foot. So I had two teams on each side of the river. Those were all deputies, all my guys. And they were going to just pound the ground and just see if anything washed up. So we went down. I mean, it was several hours into it. I got a phone call from my wife. She said, Julie Langan, her good friend, we're gonna go out. We're going to go on the Monroe Bridge. Julie's just got a feeling. So they went out there. We pushed down kind of towards the bridge. And there was another landing on the south side of the road. And south side of the water, I'm sorry, not the road. This is really hard for me to talk about.
No, it's okay. Take your time.
We can take a break if you want.
No, we're good. So we got there. You guys had turned around. The airboat group you were with, I don't remember.
I think I was riding with Aaron that day.
Aaron Wintobic, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he had already lost one boat.
My dad's had started on fire 2 days before. That was actually the first day we tried to go towards Monroe, and it started on fire. So we never made it.
Side note, Aaron's boat was floating for like 2 miles with no power. Until he was a champ about it.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
You guys got to remember,
he always is.
There wasn't a cheap boat on that water.
Oh, no, absolutely.
I mean, they
not.
Were risking it for everything, and you got to respect that.
Yeah.
So that they turned around, your group. Yeah. I don't even remember everybody you were with. I just knew, you know, I had a couple of Genoa guys there from the fire and rescue. I remember Gus being there for sure. Gus is always that dude you kind of want there. He's just a strong dude.
I mean, makes you feel better being around.
Yeah, he doesn't even say a word,
no,
right?
He just is.
You know, you got a good dude there.
Yep, always.
And something needs to be done.
Always.
So we're about to turn around, and my wife called me, and she said, Julie's on the phone with the psychic. And at that point, that's not my game,
mm-hmm.
right? I'm like, uh-huh. So what do you want me to do? She says, you aren't down far enough. There's going to be triangles on the side of the bridge, on the pilings. There's triangles. I'm like, okay, what do you want? Like, anybody could say that, right?
Right.
So we went down farther. Sure shit. Here's some orange triangles. And she goes, okay, there's an eagle. And this eagle is literally right above our boat.
Goosebumps.
I mean, you can see its feathers. That's how low it was. And I mean, multiple laps. Lap after lap, lap after lap. Just landed in the tree. Just sat right there, watched us. At that point, we still had no intention of getting off boats. Like, we had no reason to. What are we doing? I mean, there's no reason for us to get off these boats. So finally, Julie, she was up on the bridge and said, you guys are so close. And at that point, I was just like, you know what? My wife isn't going to forgive me. Julie keeps saying this. We're going to just go look at this sandbar. There's only one sandbar. There's dead carp all over it.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, we're just going to go look at it.
I know.
And we're going to go look at it.
So, yeah, I mean, it's a big sandbar. It was about a football field. I got off boat. There was a Skyler firefighter. I don't remember his name. Really good guy. He was with me. We were pushing ahead. Everybody else was kind of in this little inlet area. I mean, there's trees down. It's a mess. I remember it was super hot, and there was a bunch of bushes. So I started kind of digging around a bush, just thinking, God dang, I don't want to grab a body, but if I do, I do. No big mm-hmm. deal. We were back to back, approximately 4 feet apart, and he goes, hey, he's right here. And I remember turning, and I said, don't you fuck with me. Because, I mean, I was at my wit's end. I was
right.
I was burnt out.
Yeah.
100%. I was tired. I was angry. I felt like a failure.
But that's the whole part I didn't know was that I didn't realize that. Did Julie call a psychic herself? Or?
Julie was on the phone with the psychic.
So did she right call one, though? I mean, because...
Some gal out of Omaha, they went and seen her now 2 or 3 times.
And I think that's a whole different... Lady.
Yeah, she said that his hand is reaching.
Uh-huh. And the other psychic told my dad's cousin he was waving.
You can't make that up. I don't, I mean,
no,
I really mean, don't care what people think. You can come say it to my face.
I've got like, goosebumps just, all over every time I talk about it because it's just, to me, it's unreal. But at the same time, I'm like, again, if somebody can bug psychics from heaven to make us find him again, that would be Brett. And he put his mind to things and just made it happen.
Yeah, and it was just, I don't know. Once we found him, I mean, I didn't even realize that it was a hand at first, and then it was, and yeah, your heart drops, but then you gotta think too, okay, I'm not gonna call this family and say I have a positive ID and I found him. Who knows if somebody else is drowning in the water?
Right, it's not, and you've only seen a hand at that point.
It's not likely.
Right.
But what if?
Right.
You know?
Okay, so how do you, like, once you see a hand, like, what are the next steps? Do you just start digging with your hands to get him out of there, or, like, do you have a process, or how do you get him out of there?
I mean, full disclosure, I was, at that point, like I said, every single emotion just floods you, and mm-hmm. your brain is shut off.
So did you just let someone else take over?
No, I wouldn't say it like that. It's just, I remember Captain Wolin came over to me, Lathan. He's my good friend. He's been working with me for 13 years now.
Like my Lathan? That Lathan? Yeah. Yeah, he's just the best cop ever. I just really think he's great.
Well, you would have that day.
I still do.
He said, what do you need? I said, get him out. And he goes, I need a chainsaw. I need shovels. And so chainsaw got there first.
Physically dig him out.
Yeah, we physically did. He was on his back, and he was buried under 3 feet of sand next to a big cottonwood tree, and that cottonwood tree had him trapped.
Thank God.
It probably kept him from ending up in the Platte River and then down in the Missouri and keep going. So
out in Kearney, yeah.
Not Kearney. It's the wrong direction, you jackass.
I know.
It took about 4 hours, but there was a lot of really good firefighters and rescue squad members there that kind of, I mean, they just did the dirty work, mm-hmm. and it was absolutely horrific and dirty, and they did it, and they got him out.
Mm-hmm. That's what the goal was from,
yeah,
you know, day one, the best the goal could have been. Well, sorry for making you talk about a hard topic.
No,
I'll bring it back to the light side here. So yeah. I'm going to come back to Jackets Other Tickets, but first I got one other thing I want to say. So we had our wedding reception.
There's more tickets.
No, listen, we had our wedding reception last weekend, right? You guys both came. It was a great time. Had a lot of parties, right? So I went through all of my cards and wrote all my thank yous and got all that stuff done, which yours is right there, by the way. But anyways, going through the cards. And I get to this one. And it says, with sympathy, the memory of a loved one is never lost. It carries on through the lives that they have touched. I am thinking of you at this difficult time. Love, Jacket. And this was the wedding card that he gave me this weekend.
That's funny.
Hey, that's what I'm here for.
I mean, I got a couple funny ones, like a birthday one or something that they crossed out and wrote happy wedding. And then that one, I opened it and I was like, what in the hill. And when I opened it and saw Jacket's name, I'm like, well, this is appropriate.
Yeah. And we thought about saying something funny in ours, but we're just like, nah, let's just be normal. Like,
crossing the line.
Good luck, round two.
Right. No, yeah, right. Yeah. Better be the last one.
You're never going to find my name on that sign either.
Whatever.
It's in such small print.
All right, back to all your fuck-ups. Sorry about cussing. What?
Yep. No, I'm just pointing. The last ones ain't quite as cool. All right,
this one is unable to view to rear due to over-width hay bales.
Yeah, that was a state patrolman. He followed me from town and
big load.
Mm-hmm. And I couldn't see his lights on, so I just kept going.
So you were overloaded?
I knew he was. I wasn't overloaded. I was over width.
Well, but unable to view rear, so you clearly couldn't see him.
Right.
That one was justified.
Not until I went south of the curve. No straps either, because I was only going like 6 miles. So.
Yeah, why would you?
Okay, but now there's a story that... No, because this just happened like 2 years ago. And
no, that's right.
This, but Highway 30. Yep. It wasn't Highway 30. It was the highway between Silver Creek and Monroe, and a hay bale fell off right at the right time. And
that was a semi truck. That was a semi truck.
What were you on?
Just a pickup and gooseneck. I didn't have my CDL then. I was on my mandatory year off, thanks to the state of Nebraska and my own decisions.
DUI.
Bastards.
They gave me, yeah. It was a nice break. I didn't like trucking anyways.
Can you get your CDL back after you've had a DUI?
I have mine again now, yeah.
Is it like a probationary period or what?
I already did all that shit.
He could easier back then. Now it's super hard.
Oh, it was so easy doing the written and driving test after I'd been trucking for years.
So,
like these guys jump in the semi, these instructors or whatever,
right?
The people from the courthouse, and like it's just amazing how much more I know about trucking after I've done it for 12 years than they do about the rule books.
They're so much more strict with CDL drivers, like when it comes to your phone too, right? Can't you get in big trouble if you like get caught and then they look at your phone record and figure out you were like texting or something?
I think that goes with anything.
They see you on the phone. It's a crime. Yeah.
Really?
That's why they have headsets on.
I had a headset. Blue Parrot.
I thought you said you didn't turn your radio on, though.
A Bluetooth headphone set's different from a CB radio, a commercial band radio.
So you didn't listen to your radio? You listened to your phone?
I didn't turn on the CB to talk to other truckers. I listened to the radio.
But why did you have to have headphones on for that?
For your phone to make a phone call. You have to have your headphones, your Bluetooth headphones that, you know, like nowadays you'd probably call them ear pods or something stupid like that. Well, back in the day, we called them a blue parrot.
Because the blue light always is on.
I've never heard the blue parrot thing.
It's a brand. You can look them up and get like a Blue Parrot 9000. It's probably the best.
They have an orange rooster too.
And a gray jacket.
Yeah, Barbie doll over to Rubber Ducky. What's your status?
Oh boy. Anyways, let's wrap these tickets up.
There's so many of them. We're going to be here until midnight. Come on, bro.
He does have a lot of them. Okay, this one is possession.
Ooh.
Possession center fire rifle without
valid permit during deer season.
Valid deer permit.
Yep. Deer permit. Yeah. So that's the day that I learned you cannot have a center fire rifle during deer season without a deer permit unless you're a landowner. And that's $100 fine. Learned that the hard way.
What about nowadays when you can just pull it up on your phone? You have a deer permit.
Who wrote this?
I'll tell you that off air. He's a good guy. I just didn't know.
Is that a trooper?
No, it was a game warden.
Yeah.
I think he was.
I feel that's a violation of your Second Amendment rights.
Why is that?
Why should anybody be able to dictate with you? I would never write this.
I told him it was for coyotes, and I don't
give a fuck why you have it.
I truly had no intention of shooting a deer.
Are you a felon?
No.
Are you a criminal?
I mean, by the looks of this table with all this paper up here,
those are infractions. A couple misdemeanors.
Then no.
So why should somebody be able to dictate to you months inside of a year that you can't have that in your vehicle?
That's a good point.
I agree.
That's a violation of your Second Amendment right, in my opinion, as a county sheriff. And that's why we're a Second Amendment friendly county. And we would never enforce that bullshit.
But even if an outside game warden comes in,
I would tell them that I don't think that's appropriate. and they could probably write you and do it, but I don't think it's appropriate.
I think that guy had plenty of power, but
why would I be able to dictate to you what gun you have in your vehicle if you're not committing a crime and what you're doing with it?
I agree with you 100%, but the thing is, this guy, he was kind of like a friend and a mentor to me when I was a kid. I used to shoot Blue Rock with him Wednesday nights in Bartlett and Thursday nights in Neely. And we'd shoot.
And you still suck at it?
No, I'm good.
That's a chicken shit ticket. I would never let my deputies write that.
I've never heard it before.
I've heard, and I don't know, but I've heard that the game wardens have more authority than even the state patrol.
I've heard that too.
Not true.
Okay, you heard it here first, everybody. Not true.
I have heard that they can write tickets. Like,
no, they have certain clauses where they think that they can go do certain things. That's never been tested at a Supreme Court level.
Interesting.
I don't have that kind of dough, and I was probably 17 or 18 when I got that ticket.
How do they pull you over? Do they have lights on their cars?
Oh yeah, they do in the grill. The game wardens? Are you just staring at me?
No, I'm being completely serious, but also what went through my head right now, because I watched too many serial killer things, if I saw lights in the front of a grill, I'm not pulling over, because I wouldn't think it's an actual
cop. We knew damn well it was the game warden.
I wouldn't pull. I'd call you probably first, and you wouldn't answer, and then I'd have to call 911.
Well,
dude, someone's following me, and I'm not sure if it's a real cop or not.
I don't understand how they do it either, because we have to drive marked units with government plates and full uniforms to make traffic stops. They have to follow the same rules.
So
no law enforcement special over any other law enforcement.
Right.
So when they say we can go into your house and check freezers and do all this stuff.
Wait, why are they checking freezers?
Bodies.
Wait, what?
Meat. Human meat.
No, but my whole point is this. I can't just walk into your house without a warrant. Hey, I'm violating your rights. They have no clause in their deal that says I can just go violate rights. They've just never been tested at the Supreme Court level.
So what's going to bring them to that point?
I don't know. You're not going to just come into my house and check my stuff without a warrant. There's laws, there's rules, there's amendments, and I have rights.
Ain't no laws when you're drinking claws.
That was lame. But
I've never seen anything like that.
I think they had a guy in the air. Yeah. And we weren't doing anything wrong, but I would say it does look suspicious driving through a cornfield in a, during deer season.
Our game wardens here are good. I get along with them fine. I'll back them up. They back us up. That's a ticket I would never write. This is America, not Russia.
I agree.
Bless America.
I would never write a ticket like that, but I would probably give a stern ass chewing or something. But
for what? You have a rifle in the car.
I agree on your theory.
In the middle of Nebraska.
Right. I'm deer hunting. It's deer hunting week. I'm not deer hunting. I'm running along. I'm spotting. You know?
You're drinking,
we never drank. We never drank when we had guns with us. But this was, I was in high school. We didn't ever drink. And we didn't ever mix the guns and the booze. I didn't mix the guns with the booze.
Okay. That's fair.
For fuck's sake.
He's getting mad at me now.
You're driving me to cussing. And we'd go coon hunting all the time. We always had the fur bear permits. You know, we might have bent some rules there, but we never ever drank doing that shit. And somehow we still managed to shoot holes through the floorboards of my buddy's pickup, his dad's pickup. Henry lever action rifles don't have safeties.
Ooh.
You got to have the hammer forward. Anyways, let's wrap these tickets up quick, then we'll get back to the main task.
Okay, three more. We got three to go. This one is improper defective vehicle lighting. What?
Headlight out right here. Yep.
Oh.
That was happens. South of Yankton.
In what vehicle? Doesn't matter. They're all
semi.
Shit.
It was a semi. It wasn't my semi. Asshole.
Okay, and then this one is speeding. Another speeding.
Was there a warning? Oh yeah.
That's a ticket.
No, this
did
was.
Did you ever take the soft class?
This was a warning, and I probably deserved a ticket on that one. But this guy, he was really super good guy, and gave me a warning.
But did you ever take the soft class?
I'm pretty sure I did. Yeah.
Because how many speeding tickets did you actually get that are on your record? Well, don't they fall off after so long?
Yes.
Yeah, so I got one speeding ticket. I've been blessed with a few warnings for speeding.
That's really not that bad.
This one?
No, like
the whole stack?
Stacked over a lifetime. You have no felonies. There's nothing in there that indicates any violence. It's just good old boy having fun.
Ben,
I appreciate that.
It's going to go straight to his head.
Finally, somebody on my side.
Anyways, last ticket is operator's license address change.
They really liked me. They liked my face.
Is that a citation or a warning?
Oh, and there's speeding over here.
Oh,
you got speed. Yes.
For a warning.
That's a warning. So he made you just go in and change your license.
Correct.
That's normal.
Yeah, that's legit.
Yeah.
There's a lot of times that. Never mind.
You must have done some things in Petersburg, Nebraska. Because they really ring you up. They pull you over for everything.
Yeah. I think they just like seeing my face.
Mm. Good for them. Glad there's someone out there. Anyways, so a couple things. We got a suggestion from one of our listeners, actually, for an episode that they thought we should do. I'm nervous about it, and I think it'd be funny at the same time. But she said that we should do an episode where it's crossing the line with Katie and Jacket, where we have like viewer or listeners like send questions that would cross the line to me and Jacket. So like they send questions to Jacket that he should ask me, and send questions to me that I should ask Jacket.
Oh boy!
I know, I'm a little bit nervous about it, but I think we're gonna try it.
Okay.
I don't know where it's gonna go. Or
I've had people tell me that we should say something like what women are better at than men and stuff, and
yeah,
I'm like, well,
everything. I mean, that's easy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Grow a beard.
Well, some women can.
There's medicine for that now.
Mm-hmm. Pee standing up, not in the shower.
I mean, is that a challenge? I'd try it.
Dribble a bat. Dribble a football.
No, actually, I will pee standing up and not get it all over the toilet seat. And I bet I could still do that better than you guys do.
Sounds more like squatting.
Well, at least I'd figure it out. Whatever.
Wow.
All right. You ready to hear your song?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm a little nervous about this one, so here we go. Crossing the line.
I shot the sheriff.
That's good. Touche.
I thought so, but it was kind of hard to... It was really hard to learn because you have to like... You have to suck a lot of the notes more than you have to blow them in this song.
So yes, something you should
serious.
Be good at.
Right. I'm apparently very bad at it.
Yeah.
Very bad at it. It was really hard to learn, and I practiced a lot of times.
I feel like if I had Marty's grandpa's harmonica, I'd be able to pretty much do all these songs.
I mean, I feel like you should just put your money where your mouth is and try it.
I did that night, and that was great.
You were terrible.
A lot of great feedback from everybody.
Terrible. Thank you, Ben, for coming on this week.
Thank you guys for having me.